When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back. That's another week of your 5K training down. How's everybody feeling? We'll check in with Cara in a little bit and you can hear how it's been going for her. But as for you guys, I hope it's been going swimmingly. Though, of course, as with lots of things in life, sometimes things just don't go according to plan. And that is absolutely fine. You can take your time. As we talked a little bit about last week, there's no rush. I think that's often a pitfall that people can slip into with 5K training and particularly programs like Couch to 5K. There is absolutely no rush with this. You can take your time to get back in the saddle if you have been struggling. And we'll check in with Cara all about her injury shortly. We're also talking a little bit about health anxiety this week and how that can be a bit of a setback in itself sometimes when you've had an injury or an illness, that you can sometimes fixate on that. And it can be a little bit difficult to find the balance between listening to your body and telling your body to shut up and get on with it sometimes. So we'll talk about that. We're also chatting about cross training this week. So do listen in if that's something that you're wanting to start implementing into your routine. We're talking a bit about yoga and all the brilliant things that we can be doing as runners to help complement our training and make us better runners. And we've also got a little bit to say in the way of warming up and cooling down, particularly warming up this week, as it's been so blooming cold and we need to warm our bodies up in the same way that we would the car in the morning before going to work. Maybe not anatomically exactly correct, but it's really, really important that you're taking that extra time to warm your body up. And yeah, make sure that you're in the best position you possibly can be before you get cracking. So listen in. We're going to be talking about dynamic stretching as well as just getting the heart rate up. So, God, it all sounds very professional this week, doesn't it? Listen along. Just as a little reminder, if you are following the training plan, that this week you are embarking on week three, your runs look a little like this. So it's three runs as per usual. Your first one is six rounds of 2 minutes running, 2 minutes walking. And then your second one is the first time you're going to start dipping into running more than walking. So you're doing six again, but this time it's 2 minutes running and 90 seconds walking. So a huge achievement to be running more than you're walking in this run and the start of a very exciting part of the journey. Your final run of the week is going to be seven lots of 2 minutes running, 90 seconds walking. Good luck with it all. You're going to smash it. And if you don't, that's fine. We're here for you. Do remember, in the meantime, to check out the show notes. If you're thinking, what on earth is she banging on about? Then the training plan that you can follow is below. Well, I say below, it's in the notes. Look at them. And you can also find the link to sign up for our 5K newsletter, which is a weekly check-in with even more advice, tips and tricks. And if you want to go the whole hog, subscribe to Women's Running. That's your best bet. No better time, because if you click the link in the show notes and subscribe today, you also get a free 5K guide. That is our gorgeous 5K bookazine that Esther and I worked very hard on. So do check that out. Enough yabbing. Let's listen to Cara.
This series of the Women's Running Podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot.
Vivo Barefoot is on a mission to create footwear that brings you closer to nature. Esther, you always talk about how perfect your feet are. Well, it turns out that Vivo Barefoot agrees with you. Your feet are the perfect bits of kit, and humans have evolved to walk, move, and run barefoot. So what could be more natural than a shoe that enables you to do just that?
I do have perfect feet. Thanks, Vivo Barefoot. Their shoes are beautiful and are designed wide to provide natural stability, thin to enable you to feel more underfoot, and flexible to help you build your natural strength from the ground up.
Studies show that foot strength increases by 60% in a matter of months just by walking around in them. And they feel wonderful to move around in too.
They really do. Vivo Barefoot has a great range of shoes for kids and adults and for every activity. Plus, their footwear is produced using sustainably sourced natural, bio and recycled materials with the aim to protect the planet so you can run wild on it.
And if you've popped onto vivobarefoot.com and are having a browse of the gorgeous shoes, do check out Vivo Health while you're there. Vivo Health is an online platform for natural health. This has online courses, health assessment tools, and workshops that will help you improve foot strength, technique for both road and trail running, and more. Just pop along to vivobarefoot.com/UK/VivoHealth to find out more.
And we've saved the best bit till last. Vivo Barefoot are offering everyone a 100-day trial on their footwear. And you can pick up a pair today with an exclusive 15% discount for you, our lovely Pod Squad. Just use the code WOMENSRUNNING15 at the checkout.
So, we are back in the studio. And I'm very interested to see how things are going because it feels like it's been a long old week.
It has been a longer week, but this is episode 3, so this is week 3 of our office chair to 5K. Beginning of the week 3. So we want to find out what Cara's been doing for the last week and how her injury is. How's it been going?
We've been doing very, very little, on the injury front. So I actually... What have I been doing? I did some yoga, which is great. So I've been doing part of the cross training side of it. And as mentioned on last episode, I've got new dog. He did launch on me from the couch whilst trying to meditate during yoga. So that didn't really give me the zen I was looking for. but I did get some lunges in. I did get some core workout in, which was good. I've been walking twice a day, which has been great. And my ankle has been okay with that. And I've also been doing my calf raises whilst brushing my teeth.
Yay!
You're the model student over here. This is amazing.
It's just the pressure of the podcast. I'm like, oh shit, better do my calf raises. No, it's actually been okay. I haven't managed to do it whilst brushing my teeth in the morning, but in the evening, I've managed to do it. So I think on strength training, cross training front, I've worked in some good routines there, which has worked. On the running front, not so much. I was planning to get up this morning and try and running because my ankle was feeling a bit better. And I managed to do a minute running, and it wasn't that it was hurting, but I could like feel my ankle, if that makes any sense. You don't normally feel your ankle. I stopped and I walked the rest of the way because I was like, I'm not gonna mess this up and kind of go backwards on myself here. So I walked for 40 minutes, and headed back home. So that's where I'm at. I'm planning to try and get running ASAP. My ankle's still twingy and it's still a little bit swollen. So I'm just trying to balance being frustrated that I can't get out and get started and that I'm doing all the right things at the same time as listening to it and not, I know Esther, last week you said it's got to be 100%, like it's not supposed to hurt. You're not supposed to kind of push through the pain. I'm trying to balance those two things at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? It's kind of, it's a double whammy, because on the one hand, you should, when you're running, if you can feel any pain whatsoever, then do please stop and don't do it, kind of thing. But on the other hand, when you do have an injury, you're always hyper aware of that injury. So I think there's sometimes it's balancing out that kind of, like, I know what I'm like, and I know that my injuries, they're normally kind of on my right hand side, and I can feel it, little twinges and niggles in my hips and in my knees and whatever when I run. And sometimes, particularly if I'm doing longer distances, when I don't have anything else to think about, and I will focus in on that area, and as I'm running, I'll just be like, oh my God, that feels terrible. I actually feel like my leg is going to break off. And then as soon as I'm distracted by whatever it is I'm listening to, or something else, or a bird, I'm like a dog. As soon as I am, then it sort of goes away. So there's a balance there to be found. But I think particularly if you've got sort of like visual signs that it's not a well ankle, like it's swollen and whatever. I did want to ask if you've been taking any ibuprofen, or you've been icing it or anything like that. Have you done anything like that?
Yeah, so I've been icing it, but not, especially when I first did, I was icing it. I haven't been doing it much the last week. And yes, thanks to new pup, I've not been off of my feet very often. Mm-hmm. But yeah, unfortunately, I can't take ibuprofen because of medical reasons. So it's a bit, I just kind of have to wait for it to go down. But I should definitely ice some more and just kind of keep off it a little bit more. In between, I do want to think I start running, because I think also, like you said, you focus in on it, and it also could become slightly, for me, it could become slightly an excuse. Like, even when it does feel better, I'm like, oh, but it's been cold and my
totally valid. We've all very much been there. And it is really difficult, isn't it? I hear what you're saying there, Esther, that I think I do that a little bit as well, that it's almost like a natural defense thing that sometimes kicks in when I start running, that I will start to think of, and I'm not saying this is what you're doing, Carl, but this is a thing that I do where I go, what's every single reason why I should turn around and go back? Yeah. Because I guess, I was talking about this with my mum the other day, and she was like, God, I've been trying to do more exercise, but in the dead of winter, everything in your primal instincts is telling you to conserve your energy if you don't need to be spending it. And so suddenly, like, you know, legging it is like really counterintuitive to what your sort of brain is telling you to do, unless a woolly mammoth is actually chasing you right now, because you never know when one might suddenly pop up and you're going to need to leg it and have saved your energy for it. So yeah, I really struggle with that too. But also, I think sometimes, like, I want to know what the answer is to how you're supposed to be aware of your body, but also be not too aware of your body. Because as a self, you know, diagnosed hypochondriac, lots of people do things like checking in as a distraction technique, where they'll be like, oh, how are my toes feeling? How are my feet feeling? How are my ankles feeling? But if you have something that you're used to being worried about, which for me is my breathing or my lungs, then it's an absolute nightmare, isn't it? Because you're like, yep, oh, confirmed dying, someone call an ambulance.
Do you know, I was thinking about that the other day, that because I've realized that I do the opposite of that. I don't check in, I check out. So I remember being told by a personal trainer, oh, you know, do a kind of top to toe, like every mile, if you're running a marathon, do a kind of, oh, my head is feeling like this and my shoulders are feeling like this and shoulders back and down and knees and da da da. And I don't do that because I think I feel exactly the same as you, Holt, because as soon as I start thinking about my shoulders or my knees or my toes, it just feels like something's going to fall off and everything's going to go wrong and I'm going to shit myself or something. But so instead is I check out, because what happens is inevitably when you're running, something feels a bit wonky because it's a different motion than walking. So something like my hips might feel a bit weird. And so, but I now know after years of running that normally what happens is after about, I don't know, half a mile or not even that, like a couple of minutes or whatever, that feeling will go. I just have to distract myself. So instead of thinking about the body part that's causing me a niggle, I think about something else. So I literally just move my mind away from it. And I just think, oh, silly mind, you're going to start fixating on that knee feeling weird. So think about something else. So I would definitely use that as a technique, because it definitely works for me in long running situations, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely a culprit of overthinking. And I think with running, it's great to get out of the house and get out of things that are kind of, you know, got to do this, and got to do that, and et cetera, and be by yourself. But then you do get the other side where you have a little bit too much alone time with your own brain. And yes. if it tends to focus on your body and you've got an injury, it can focus in that direction. Hole got me onto this, but I'm a big fan of an audiobook. And that's how I distract myself during exercise that I'm not always, if I'm not loving, that's what helps me. But yeah, I just think I need to, you've motivated me now. I'm going to try a little bit harder tomorrow morning, because potentially this morning I was like, it's cold and I'm tired. Yeah.
Oh, but it's all part of it, isn't it? I honestly think that that's the thing that I'm struggling with most at the moment, actually, is not like the cardiovascular fitness or I'm always struggling with that, but you know what I mean. It's not particularly a fitness thing or an injury thing or an aches and pains thing. It is the motivation for me that is absolutely, oh, it's a daily struggle, isn't it? It really is,
because it's really, really hard here.
It's super, super cold. Or anyone who's sort of enjoying living on the balmy coasts or something.
Don't move to England.
It's literally like, it's been -1 every morning when I've tried to get up and go for a run for the last 3 days. And I have to confess, I have decided against it and snuggled back down in bed every single time, because it's so, so difficult when it's this cold. And I'm also a bit scared. I get worried about slipping over on the ice, though actually that's a little bit of an excuse at the moment, because there's not been any ice because it's not been wet enough.
I did slip on ice yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's in the sticks.
No, excuse. Right,
excuse. I said that to Doug this morning. I was like, oh, careful of black ice when he left to go to work. I was like, careful of black ice. And he was like, black ice is something. He went, black ice is something your dad made up to freak you out.
That's not true, is it?
Not true.
It's not true. Not true. It does exist.
I slipped on it yesterday.
There we go. Okay, so there is some ice about. That's a genuine fear. And I remember running in winter last year and like having to sort of trot about a little bit because it's so icy. And also, I get a bit worried about my lungs, because I know that sometimes running in very, very cold temperatures can actually feel, I don't know whether it can do necessarily long-term damage, but I know it can make you, it can put quite a lot of strain on your lungs. Esther, do you know anything more about that? I'm looking at your pleading eyes.
I think you're all right. I mean, it's not the Antarctic. I think, but motivation is a massive, massive thing. And it's so easy to think of excuses to not do it. And I know that we're very, very different people, you and me, Hole, particularly when it comes to that, because I'm constantly self-flagellating. I mean, you know, not literally, but anyway, but trying to, you know, I'm constantly kind of forcing myself out because I'm a piece of shit, and you're constantly looking after yourself. And we kind of try and meet in the middle.
I'm constantly telling myself I'm a piece of shit. I've just got different coping
just
mechanisms.
Just inside.
Inside. Just a warm piece of shit, and I'm a cold one. But I think, when it comes to motivation with these, especially with runs, I think it's really hard actually when you're doing like a couch to 5K thing, because a lot of these runs, a lot of these early runs, you're actually not going out for very long. And it means that you don't get a chance to particularly warm up. So I think that's a really tough one to overcome. But those two sorts of things that I know that run coaches would say all the time. And one of them is that you'd never, ever regret a run. And unless you fall arse over tit, it's true. You don't regret ever going for a run. You always feel better when you come back than before you went. So focusing on that feeling of coming in to the warm house as opposed to staying in the warm house is like getting home. I think that's a really nice thing to kind of think about. And the other one is to tell your little strange mind that's trying to destroy your run that you're only going to go out for 5 minutes. And you know, just see what that feels like. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you'll go for longer than 5 minutes. But if you can just get yourself out the door, because that is, I know we always say it, but it's the hardest thing, isn't it? It's leaving the house.
It's really hard.
It's actually getting dressed and leaving the house. So trying to find all of the kind of excuses to get out the front door, try and minimize all of those, making your kit nice and warm, or just putting your kit on in the first place, you know, just wearing it. And shaming yourself by kind of looking down and realizing that you're still wearing leggings at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It does actually really help. I like putting mine on first thing in the morning, because then I do think that even if I don't do any exercise that morning, I actually did today. I was like, I put my leggings on in exactly that little plan where I was like, if by lunchtime I'm still wearing my leggings and I haven't done anything, then I'll make myself go out for a run and then I'll get changed. And I needed to have a shower as well, which is always a good plus, isn't it?
Yes.
You're like, well, I can't until I've done my exercise. But I actually ended up putting them on, and then I was like, you know what, let's just do 20 minutes of strength training instead of going out for a run.
Well, many people would say that's better for you. Apparently it is better for you to do the strength training rather than the cardiovascular. So, I mean, you're winning if you did that.
That's exactly what I thought this morning when I made that choice.
I would give a different opinion, and maybe it's because I'm doing it in the cold, but I get so hot, and it's probably because this is all new for me and I am working up my cardiovascular ability. I get so hot that I kind of like that it's quite cold outside, because it kind of, I'm like, oh, it's going to offset and cool me down a little bit and not make me feel like my body is on fire. I feel like if I was trying to do this in summer, I mean, I guess it's personal preference if you like being warm or if you prefer being cold and warming up, but I'm a cold and warming up person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're hot and you're trying to get hotter, I imagine that feels like you just can't escape the internal.
That's definitely a thing, isn't it, with runners? Because I am definitely the other person. I love running over the summer. I love it when it's super hot.
Right.
And I actually really enjoy in a kind of weird.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Way getting super, super sweaty. What I hate is the cold. So I did a 5K this morning and I wasn't warm until the last 5 minutes. Like that's
really?
when I take my gloves off. Yeah.
It's really, yeah, I think that's why it's so tough doing. Yeah, I think that's why I think it's actually a really tough time of year to do couch to 5K or office chair to 5K, as we like to refer to it. I was reading somebody saying they take issue with the idea of couch to 5K, because it's absolutely fine if you haven't done any exercise and you are really going from nothing to something.
Mm.
But it does assume that you're
lazy.
Yeah, because you're not running, that you're just sitting on your ass all the time. It's like plenty of us walk a lot. Yeah, that doesn't mean that you're not, just because you're not running all the time. Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. So, excellent broadcasting.
That being
skills.
Cold, you were talking about being cold.
Being cold.
Yes, I think it's really tough because you're it, you're running quite short amounts of time, and also the run walk thing, like you're giving your body in a bit of, an option of kind of like cooling itself down when you're doing the walk bit. So it's actually quite tough at the moment. Whereas sometimes if you're just running, I'm saying this to reassure you, Carl, that I think it will get easier the more you run, because I think kind of agreeing with what Esther is saying, sometimes without overthinking it and just plodding along, and then before you know it, you're like, oh, I've done however many minutes and I'm feeling a bit toastier now, and I've sort of checked out of how my body was feeling and I've just been listening to my audiobook for a bit is easier. Whereas, you know, when you're focusing on walk run intervals and you're cooling down and warming up and cooling down and warming up, it's tough at this time of year.
I think with motivation as well, like it's about catching your brain before it starts going forward. So before you're like, oh, it's cold, and then I've got to do this, and then I've got to do that, and like you find excuses because you're looking forward. Whereas, yeah, if you the putting the gym kit on, but also like you said, Esther, even if just getting out the door, that's the biggest part, and then you can kind of trick your brain as it goes, if that makes any sense. You're like, okay, it's just this minute, or it's just this. If you're not starting your first week again and you're on week three, it's just this 2 minutes. That's all I've got. And you just focus on that time period rather than going, oh, and then I've got another six of those 2 minutes. And like,
absolutely. Yeah, oh my God. Yeah.
That, and that,
spoken like a running professional, because that's definitely, that's a key
technique. Who doesn't
run? No, it's brilliant. It's a key technique for like, for marathon running, actually, is just staying in that moment. And it's really hard to do, because like if you're like mile eight of 26 miles, you're just looking at the end and just thinking, that's fucking miles away, there's no way I'm gonna get there. But if you just stay in that little mile, just think, I just need to get to the next one, just need to get to the next one. And it's the same, definitely the same with this, for sure. So
that's very interesting. And I think you chose mile eight, by the way, to say that, because last time I did a half marathon, mile eight was when I had nearly had a bit of a panic attack because of exactly that same thing, where I was like, oh my God, I'm only just kind of halfway through. Or it felt like it's halfway through.
And I hate mile eight.
And mile eight, generally, feel I think, knackered.
It's a horrible number. And it's with a half marathon, you're right. You're just over halfway and you're like, ugh. Got bloody loads.
And you should feel. You think, oh, I should feel. Hooray, I'm over halfway. But instead you just go, it's almost like you're saying, you're with how fast your brain moves sometimes, that subconscious thought of, great, I'm halfway, triggers a whole spiral of, oh my God,
I'm only halfway.
I've still got 5 miles to go. How am I going to do this? I'm going to die or whatever. Yeah.
And when I've been doing a marathon, I hate the number anyway. And I'll get to that and I'll just think, not even a third of the way through. Like, you know, and it really hurts. Well done. You know,
it's just horrible.
Stick it out.
So proud of yourself now for signing up for that, you bloody idiot.
Oh, what have you done? Absolutely.
So like, if this is week three, what it should is. Everyone be doing if they were following along with our office chair to 5K plan? What's going on this week?
Office chair. This is for those who are about to embark on week three, but this is also with a caveat that it's absolutely fine if you're not. Let's talk about if you're not a little bit more afterwards. But for those who are following the plan to a T and who have managed to stay on track with all of their runs so far, well done. You are looking at this week at doing so three runs, and they're actually all slightly different, which is very irritating, both for saying in audio form and also for you guys at home. But it's six sets of 2 minutes running, 2 minutes walking. So very like you've done for the first week when you were doing 1 minute off, one minute on. It's 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off for six rounds. Your second run is six again, but this time you're doing 2 minutes running and 90 seconds walking, so it's actually slightly shorter. So that second run is quite nice, and that's where you're going to start to flip over into doing a little bit more running. Into turning into a sexy French woman. Then my voice went. You'll be flipping over into doing more running than you are walking. So I think that is a cause for celebration after that run. And then your third one is the same thing again. So 2 minutes running, 90 seconds walking, but this time you're doing 7 of them. So a little bit longer.
And with all three of those runs, is there like a warm up and a cool down as well? Is that in the plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think we discussed in the first week, didn't we, that this is definitely worth talking about in this weather, because we talked about maybe doing a bit of brisk walking, but the best thing probably, I know that's what Couch to 5K app tells you to do, but I think dynamic stretching is often a little bit more, I don't know, wakes your body up a bit more than a brisk walk. So that's like, you know, swinging things around, hip swings, is that what they're called? Leg swings, all of that stuff.
Okay, this is totally new to me.
Did we not talk about this? Okay.
No, I was walking.
Okay. Oh, I completely forgotten what we talked about. So if you've been walking, and if you are walking, that is absolutely fine. But I think because it's been so chilly, let's talk about dynamic stretching, because I didn't know this until the other day, but somebody told me that when it's colder, you have to warm up more, which sounds obvious, but you're not thinking of your body as like a little chicken nugget in a microwave or whatever, are you? It's like you've got to actually warm yourself up more when it's cold outside. So Esther, do you want to, I'm putting you on the spot with this, but do you want to talk us through any of the dynamic stretches that you do? Basically, Carl, what it means is moving stretches rather than stationary.
I'm swinging something about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
So yeah, like back in the 80s when my parents were runners, the thing that people would do is kind of big static stretch, you know, they'd go start like touching their toes in a really kind of rigid and weird kind of way, or they would kind of, you know, stretch their quads by putting their kind of their leg up to their bum sort of thing, and just do that sort of thing. And actually having run with my dad in recent years, he still does that. So he'll kind of, you know, do a calf stretch against a wall kind of thing before he goes for a run. But most people say that that's not a good thing to do before you go for a run, because you're not warmed up, your muscles aren't warmed up. So you could kind of stretch a muscle and then go for a run, and that muscle would actually be weaker as a result of that kind of cold stretch, as opposed to being stronger. So dynamic stretching is basically stretching your body, but while moving. And it can be things like, at its heart, that the most important thing you can do is walk, because running is just a kind of progression from that. So the walking is the best thing you can do.
There we go.
But in order to warm up, if you're like, if you are really, really cold before going for a run, then it really helps to, if you feel like a bit of a wally, do it in the privacy of your own home. If you don't feel like a wally and you've got no neighbors, then do it outside so that you get the cold air too. Arm swings, literally just arm circles, is just nice. It kind of just gets your kind of your back just a bit more kind of upright and makes you feel like your posture is a bit better. So arm swing, just make sure that you repeat the exercises forward and backward and both arms and both legs. But it can include things like leg swings. So holding onto a door frame and swinging your leg, your outside leg, so forward and backwards, to kind of ease up the hip joints, and doing that on both legs. It can include things like walking lunges. Yeah, I do like a hip swing.
Yeah, my hips always kill, so that one always is a
good one.
Yeah.
Any kind of light lunging, don't do any kind of deep squats or anything like that, but something where you sort of just do Ministry of Silly Walks, basically. So kind of a walking lunge, just to kind of ease up the kind of knee joints and just get them sort of used to doing something on one leg as opposed to on two legs. Calf raises again. That sort of thing.
Anything that makes you feel like you're in clown school.
High knees, hip circles, you know, just things like that. It does make you feel like a total Burke. But there is kind of thought behind it that it might prevent injury, that it does literally warm you up so that you're more flexible, so that when you run, you're not sort of so kind of static and rigid and kind of brittle. Do you know what I mean? It kind of is warming you up, warming every single joint up. So, yeah.
One of my friends who we were talking about our New Year's resolutions the other day. And he was talking about the fact that he wants to stretch more. And he said it was because his body was made of poppadoms, which made me laugh so much.
Oh, my My body is becoming a poppadom for sure. But I think very relevant from the kind of office angle as well. Like, I mean, have you seen those things on social media that it's like, oh, this generation in 50 years, like office workers in 50 years, where they're like this little, like, decrepit.
We've actually talked about her on the pod before. She's come
up. Have you? Yeah. Oh, my God. She haunts my dreams. Me That's too. Why I'm here.
A big kind of hump on her back, and it's like, oh, God.
I've got a hump. I think I've got a hump.
We love our lady humps. We love our lady humps.
Oh, God.
I think that's massive as well, and like they're kind of always my favorite bits in yoga, especially around my neck and my back, because I get such bad neck and then migraines because I'm just not moving. And am I right in like the acid?
Yeah, the lactic acid.
When I go to the chiropractor, they're always just like literally just moving like your shoulders in rotation every half an hour is all you need. It doesn't have to be something, you know, super aggressive or a really intense workout plan. It can just be something as simple as rotating and just getting out, moving about. But yeah, it's that kind of sustaining, keeping your body in a good place rather than what I tend to do, which is it gets in a shit place and then I go, oh, I need a chiropractor, I need a physio, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's those little things, and I imagine obviously set you up for running.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, the office chair thing is a really, really important point, because I was just thinking about, I was thinking about Dave recently, where he has got given himself a really bad back. Because for the last sort of it's been Christmas, isn't it? But the last sort of couple of weeks, he's been doing loads of driving. So that kind of, you know, that posture is not great, and not a huge amount of exercise. And you know, it's interesting. Suddenly we're back on the school run. We're walking to school every morning or every afternoon. And just that tiny walk, it's really not very long at all. It's 20 minutes. But I think that's enough. Like, I remember like during lockdown, and I had a terrible back in lockdown. There was a bit where I was working flat on my back from the bed because I couldn't get up because I'd done something awful to a disc. And that was because we'd stopped walking the kids to school. I was still doing strength training and stuff, but literally just getting up in the morning and just that kind of simple movement. No, you're right. It's not rocket science. It's kind of, my personal trainer, lovely woman, talks about lubing yourself up, those sorts of moves. And I must admit, the first move she always makes us do whenever we do any strength training is cat-cow. Because she's very back focused, and so I always do that now, and I think that's such an important move to do, to kind of just limber up your spine and do that kind of move, if you know what that is.
I love cat-cow so much.
I love it.
It's so great. And especially if you've like done anything with your core, it just feels, you don't even realize that area needs stretching, and then when it does, it's like, oh my gosh, I am a cat, I think. I'm just a cat that needs that daily.
Do you ever think about what is the cat and what is the cow? Have you ever got stuck on that? I think about that every time I do it. Because
I think the cat is the rounding, because it's when they get scared.
When they get scared, they go,
no, the cows don't do that. Maybe it should just be cat-cat.
It should be cat-cat.
I have been thinking about this. It's weird. What's
such a good
cow
point.
Yeah.
I've never seen a cow do either of those things.
No, I can't, and I've never really seen a cat go do the one. Oh no, they kind of do the one where they put their belly down, don't they?
They do.
When they're stretching after sleep, and then when they're scared.
Yeah,
you're right. It should be cat for sure.
Yeah.
Cat.
Or dog cat, because dogs do that too. So I don't know. I just don't know where cows came into it.
I don't understand why cows are involved, and I think we need to speak to Adrian.
Get her on the phone.
What about bird dog? I mean, I don't even.
I did that this morning, and I thought exactly the same. I was like, "What the fuck are we doing?"
Bird dog is when you're on all fours. So do it after you've done your cat. Right. And what you do is, so stay in all fours, point your right hand. So that's kind of in line with your body, the top of your body. So that's straight in front of you. And then your left leg. So opposite leg. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're in a big, long line.
You've definitely done it, Carl.
Yeah, that's what I was doing yesterday.
So yeah, that is a lovely one again, also for just after cat. But that's not bird dog. That's not a dog. That's not a bird.
I think that might be bird dog, because I think the stretching of your leg and arm is sort of flying a bit like a bird, and then the other half of your body is on the ground like a dog. I think basically they've got very, very little understanding of
I don't think they've met any birds or dogs or cows. I think they need to go to a zoo ASAP.
Yeah, they need to hang out with Attenborough more, don't they? The people in the yeah. He would be like, it's the velociraptor stretch or ancient Tyrannosaurus something. Yeah, I didn't even think of any dinosaurs.
No. I like the fancy yoga names like Shavasana and things, because then when I know them, I feel so above everyone else. I'm like, sorry guys, I'm just going into Shavasana.
So. Yeah,
I'm always going into Shavasana. Yeah,
Shavasana, the one where you just lie down at the end.
Yeah. On the regs.
Yeah, love Shavasana, favorite position for sure.
Yeah, Shavasana was what I was in when the dog launched on my head yesterday. Oh god.
Yeah, not good.
Not feeling.
Not what you want.
Shavasana. Not namaste at that point. No.
Yeah. No, exactly.
He just was trying to connect to your third eye.
That must be what it was. Yeah, it's just the bonding. We're just bonding.
Oh guys. Well, we've reminded you of what's going on next week, haven't we? Anybody who is following the plan. But I just wanted to do a little word of, reassurance. If you're not, obviously, that's not what Carl's doing. And if you're in a similar position and you have had an injury or you've needed to take things a bit slower, then that is absolutely fine. I was reading in Women's Running magazine, which you may have heard of, earlier this morning, that one of the big pitfalls of Couch to 5K is thinking that you have to follow the plan exactly. And whether that means that, you know, it's too difficult for you or too easy for you, it's absolutely fine to skip a week or repeat a week regardless. If you're finding things too hard or too simple, go with what feels right for you. And if you want to repeat week two before you move on to week three, which obviously does see more running than walking, then that's a-okay. And just keep in touch. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter if you'd like to get more info on all of this stuff and how to do that thinking for yourself. I'm not a very good thinker for myself, I like to be told. that's all fine. And this is just a thing to say that everything's fine, I suppose.
Everything's fine. Yeah, and even if you just like have lost motivation and you just want to kind of start again at some point, it's just about getting out there, isn't it, at the end of the day, and working to what works for your body. So
don't forget. Exactly. It's the dead of winter. We all decide to set these resolutions for ourselves in the literal dead of winter, so if you're struggling, that's fine. It's really, really tough at the moment, but you got this. Thank you, Cara. And thank you guys for listening in. We are back next week, of course, on Tuesday. Do listen to our main podcast as well. Not to devalue this one, this is a main one as well, but we do a slightly longer one, perfect for your weekend long run. That's just me and Esther blathering on, but we've got quite a lot of useful stuff in that episode this week. We've just finished recording it and it is a corker, so do listen in and check out the show notes. As I always say, we've got the training plan that Cara is following if you want to follow along, as well as plenty of signposts towards places you can get more advice and support from us. Join us on Patreon, all of that jazz, and we'll see you next week.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right,
because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.